Av Tav Shin Ayin Hey. We're going to be speaking about the Korban Todah. So the Pasuk says the following. It's Perek Zayin Pasuk Yud Beis. Perek Zayin Pasuk Yud Beis. And it says, Imal Todah Yakrivenu. If you bring a Korban Todah, V'hikrivel Zevach Todah Chalos Matos Belulos B'Shemen or Kike Matos V'Shuchim B'Shemen V'Solos Morbechas Chalos Belulos B'Shemen. You're going to bring along with it all these different things of challah and matzah. We're going to see the following. We're going to see that there's a type of Korban Shlomen, a peace offering that's given called a Korban Todah. The Korban Todah was a thanksgiving offering given to our HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi explains this to mean that one of these forms of Korbanos is a thanksgiving offering, a thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a miracle that happened to us that was done for the one who offered it. Examples are given in Tehillim Kuf Zayin. You probably have seen this Tehillim before. There's like these weird little simanios that turn the opposite way. It says the following. The following four people have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu and bring a Korban Todah. Number one, person who goes out to sea in a big boat and gets back and everything's okay. Number two, someone who walked through a desert. Number three, someone who was released from jail. And number four, someone who was deathly ill and got better. All four people are chayiv to bring a Korban Todah. These are the only four examples brought by the Gemara and by Pesukim to explain who has to bring a Korban Todah. By all four of these, David HaMelech says, Yodu Hashem Chasto, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu be thanked, v'nit lo'osu v'nei Adam, and his wonders will be told over to other people, Yishlechu Zivchei Soda, and they will sacrifice to him for them Zivchei Soda. Now, what's the purpose of a Korban Todah? Like, HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs our thanks. Obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not in it for the thanks. It's not that we need to give him something for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to feel better about himself. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, it's quoted in the Sefer Mizmor LaSoda, it's to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved you and not anyone else. It's not that there were natural means that allowed me to be saved in whatever way I was saved. That's not it. When a person was saved from a dangerous situation that he was in, that means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with you the whole time, helping you, taking care of you, and making sure that everything was going to be okay. That any surin, any bad things that might happen to me are there because I did something wrong. And Hashem, through his chesed, even though I didn't deserve it, saved me anyway and took care of me even though I didn't necessarily was supposed to get it. But that leads us to a little bit of a conundrum. I'm only using that word because somebody used it an hour ago and you know all those things stay inside your head once you use that word, right? It leads us to a little bit of a problem. Let's think this way. If I was supposed to be punished and therefore I was supposed to be in the desert for a year, let's say, in order to be my punishment, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through my davening, through something, saved me and I was brought out, that means I was never fully punished for the bad thing that I did. See, I did an Avera. I need to be punished. I'm supposed to be in the desert. But because something else happened, therefore I'm going to be saved, that makes no sense. That means I'm going to be punished later on. Why is that a good thing? Why should I want to be saved? Why should I even thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I shouldn't thank him for anything. I should say, alright God, you messed me over by this. For example, we're supposed to be in Mitzrayim for 400 years. We know that in the end, we weren't there for 400 years. We were there for 210. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make up the extra 190 years by giving us this galus of over 1900 years. So in that we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what are you doing? Why would you save us and give us 190 years off of the 400 year cycle to give us another 1900 years later on? Why is that fair? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't want that. That's not what we want. We want it to be done in some other way.
Well, yeah. Sorry, when somebody gets sick though, and you don't know, like if you get better, it's not like maybe your kafara was paid off, so to speak. And
see, that's the question, and you don't know. Right. So why should I go to a doctor and get healed if maybe this kafara is the best thing for me? And that's really what it's asking. It's obvious that we do go to doctors. It's obvious that we want to get out of the desert. But the question is, why is that good for me so much so that I should bring a Korban Todah for it? Then afterward I say, oh, that was the best thing for me. How do I know that was the best thing for me? Maybe it wasn't. So that's the pshat. Says Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, when you bring the korban and you're moded that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved with everything, you're also admitting and agreeing and understanding that sometimes you have to be saved and that's better for you. In other words, we're looking at HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we're really putting ourselves in His hands and saying, save me and I'm going to thank you for it. Meaning, I admit I did something wrong and that leads you up to a higher level where now you deserve to be saved. It's as if you got the Yisurin that you needed. even if you didn't get exactly what you were expecting. That's the idea behind it. But Akiva Eiger points it out a little bit clearer. He says it's obvious that the point of the korban is not for God to be thanked. It's for us. We need to be makir tov. It's not only akaras tov that we should realize what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for us. It's also to encourage the meitiv, to encourage HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do more and more and more good for us in the future. See, we are people that are able to do, we're able to give back. Now, I always hated when I turned bar mitzvah, my mom told me that I had to write thank you notes. I hated it. Absolutely hated it. When I got married, the only thank you notes that I wrote were the only ones that people complained to my mom about the thank you notes that we sent out, because I was very graphic about what they gave us, and I thought that was okay. It was not a very good thank you note. I didn't realize that you're not supposed to not thank the person for not getting a klop inside the mezuzah holder that they gave you. Got me a beautiful mezuzah holder, and I wrote, I'm shocked that I didn't get a mezuzah klop with it. I didn't realize that was a bad thing to do. I had absolutely no idea. So that wasn't a bar mitzvah, that was for my wedding. But regardless, right, I didn't realize that it's there. See, but when you do send the thank you note, and I see it now, giving a gift to someone for their wedding and getting a thank you note back, it's not that I need the thank you note, but that does lead credence to the fact that I feel that person appreciated my gift. And therefore, if anything happens again, I'm going to give him another gift in the future. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu is not like that, obviously, but it really leads you to believe you are in a higher level, so to speak, of Akaras HaTov mode. And in a higher level of Akaras HaTov mode, you become a better person, and that leads to everything being better around you. That's the idea behind it. That's Rabbi Kivager's line. Now, together with the Korban Todah, the actual Korban, which is the animal that you bring, you also bring 40 loaves of bread / matzah. 30 loaves of matzah is 10 loaves of bread. That's 30 and 10. It's an equal amount of flour for the matzah and the bread. So even though it's only 10 loaves of bread, 30 loaves of matzah, the matzah is thinner, obviously, and takes up less space and less flour than the amount that you do by the bread itself. Now, this interesting thing about a korban todah is that it's not like a regular shlamim. A regular shlamim can be eaten for 2 days and one night, meaning the day you brought it, that night, and the next day as well. A korban todah can only be eaten that day and that night. By the next morning, if you have anything left over, it all has to be burned. Korban Todah is only one full day, and that's that. The Sforno says the reason for it, that the purpose of having these loaves is to make a large Suda Sodah. If you've ever been to a Suda Sodah before, or if something happened to you that you're required to make a Suda Sodah, Suda Sodah is when you gather everybody together and you publicly thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You talk about the miracle that happened to you, and you say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you so much for allowing this miracle to happen in front of me, for this happening, and that's the idea behind it. You're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu in front of everyone for what it was.
Do you need a miracle, or can you just do it stam?
You, of course, can do it just stam, but the actual mitzvah of the, you know, of a Sudas Odah is when you do something where you could have died, something bad could have happened, and you're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thanks, and you're doing it publicly in front of all these people.
Or something where you were a
dater. Yeah, for example, I mean, there's examples. If anybody remembers, what, you know, in 2001, right, in the start of the Intifada, so one of my good friends, Tovia Grossman, was the guy that was thrown, you know, he's inside a cab, and he was grabbed out of the cab on the way to the Kotel on Erev Rosh Hashanah and taken out and beaten by a bunch of Arabs, right? So when he was taken out, so he was saved. At the end, that was the famous picture in the New York Times. I know it was 14 years ago, but it was a famous picture in the New York Times on Rosh Hashanah that came out and said the Jews are beating up the Arabs, and they had a picture of him after he was beaten up by the Arabs, and it was a picture of him, and people saw him. His parents didn't even know about it. Nobody could hear it, because by the time everything had happened, it was already Rosh Hashanah time. It was a crazy little story. He makes the Sudas Odah every year on Erev Rosh Hashanah, and I've been around for it for quite a few years, and I've written the speech for him for quite a few years. That's on record now. It's probably not the best thing to say. No, he writes it himself. But either way, that's the Sudas Odah that everybody gets together and thanks HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the one good thing, for that great thing that happened, and together you recognize everything else. See, here's the point. You get 40 loaves, even if 10 loaves are a bread and 30 loaves are a matzah, but the point is you gather more people together. And if you can only eat it in one day and one night, then it's Tzivat Zan. That means you don't have 2-3 meals to be able to take up. It's like, guys, I have one meal. Everyone get together. Everyone eat together. Let's go. Let's make a huge meal together. If you're going to do that, that means more people are involved, more people are invited, more people are going to be there for it. That concept is going to make it a little bit easier to allow everyone to come and be part of the whole Sudas Adah makes the Sudas Adah bigger. If it was only a few loaves of bread, not everybody would come. If it was a couple meals and you have to split up the bread between the meals, not everybody would come. Here you could have one huge Barobam Hadras Melech. That's the point of the Korban Toda and making everything together. It says in Itziv, that's the point of making only one day and one night as opposed to a regular Shlomen. The parties Yosef brings that the 40 loaves of bread represent the 40 days that the vlad, that the child is being formed in the womb of a mother. That means that it's perfection. It's allowing the baby to become perfect, to become something bigger. Out of all those loaves, there's still chametz, and that represents, it's still chametz, meaning it's not yet completed. You're getting great. You're almost becoming a perfect person, but you're not yet there. There's still a little bit of chametz that's left. So a little bit of something that's a little bit wrong. The point is to keep working on yourself and doing things and not worry when things go wrong and there's a setback. That's the idea of the parties Yosef says, and that's the point. You got off the horse, you just climb back on and you keep going. That's the idea of why there's 40 to represent what the vlad represents, to show that perfection. Now, the question is like this. All korbanos are mentioned in Parshas Vayikra. The korban toda is the only one that's mentioned over here in Tzav. Why is the korban toda relegated to this parsha and not in Vayikra with all the other korbanos? Why is that so? Says the Chassam Sofer. Because we already said, the korban toda is brought when a miracle happens. You want to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he was saved from a great danger. We know that, right? You can't demand that from all B'nai Yisrael. See, Parshas Vayikra is about everyone in B'nai Yisrael. Everyone in B'nai Yisrael has to bring a korban olah, because people sin, right? And a korban olah is brought when you don't do a mitzvah. You didn't wear tefillin one morning? Okay, you're chayiv in a korban olah, right? If you didn't say Kriya Shema at the proper time, you got to bring a korban olah. If you did something wrong lav-wise, you did something that was wrong that wise, then you got to bring a chatos or an asham, right? Asham babi or talui, depending on what it is. And there's other things that could possibly happen. You have other korbanos. Again, that olah, the asham, the chatos, even a shlomim in many ways is brought because a person is feeling bad about something. He wants to make peace back with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But a korban toda is different. You can't expect that out of regular people, because that means you're endangering people's lives by saying to them, you're going to be in danger and you're going to be saved and you're going to be thanking a Kadosh Baruch Hu for it. You're endangering them by putting them in danger by saying automatically, this is what's going to be if you go ahead and you have this situation. That we want to do. The line is, al tiftach peh b'sofa. Open up your mouth to the Satan and tell the Satan what's going to be. That you don't want to do. But Parshas Tzav is not for regular people. Parshas Tzav is all about the Kohanim. It's their Parsha. It's the Kohanim and Aaron specifically. And great, great men. Huge Talmidei Chachamim. By huge Talmidei Chachamim, they can see situations that aren't... other people would just sneeze at and see, that's not that big of a deal. They look at it and say, this was mamish a miracle. There's something that Hashem really did for me over here. They don't see it as only being a danger that other people see as something like that. They see everything as a miracle. And for a Talmid Chacham, a great tzaddik, to look at everything and say, I'm going to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's something we can offer for them, but not just by some people. So what the Chassam Sofer is saying is, it doesn't belong in Vayikra. By Vayikra, we're talking about regular people. A Korban Toda is relegated to the great men in Klal Yisrael, to the really great people that see miracles in everything they do. That's Parshas Tzav. And that's why we say every day, to try to make ourselves into that person. We say in Modim, Al Nisecha Shebechol Yom Imanu, and your miracles that are with us every single day. If we really realized what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing to us, we would bring a Korban Toda every single day. We would say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you so much. We say Mizmor Lasoda. Mizmor Lasoda is the Mizmor that we say for a Korban Toda every single morning. It's appropriate that the only place these Korbanos are mentioned is specifically by a Kohen, and where the Kohanim go. And Imre Emet says, since miracles happen to us every day, that's why you only had it for one day and one night. Think about this for a second. You know why one day, one night? Says the Imre Emet, the third Ger Rebbe. He says, because if you bring the Korban Toda, and you're allowed to eat it the next day, but miracles happen every day. By the time tomorrow rolls around, I'm already chayav to bring another Korban Toda. So how can I eat the Korban Toda of today, tomorrow, when I'm chayav in another Korban Toda tomorrow? I can't eat it that way. I'm already chayav because there's always something good that I can thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. See, that's the thing. The four examples that are given are those. But technically, you should be chayav in a Korban Toda every day. there's no specific line, meaning the way the pasuk says it is, when you want to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you bring a korban todah. There is no specific line. Those four examples are examples. But the korban todah, no they don't. The mincha, they do.
Right.
But a korban todah, nobody brings. And a korban todah has to be an individual. There is no tzibur korban todah, so to speak. So in other words, it's... Sort of. Wait until we get to Victor Miller. He does say something like it, but it's not exactly like it. But that's the idea behind it. You can't do it tomorrow when you're already chayiv in a brand new thing. Alenu l'shabeach, that's Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein, brings out a story. He says a story. I don't remember this. It happened, he said, in 2007, that there was a bus that was on its way from Bnei Brak, from Ramat Beit Shemesh to Bnei Brak, and on its way there, it crashed into a wadi, into a little area that was there, you know, after a river dries up, it becomes a little bit of an area. It's called like a water canal, basically, but no water inside there. So that's what it was. So what happened was, there was an avreich that wanted to get on the bus. And as he was waiting for the bus and waiting to go, he knew that the bus was going to cost him 13 shekel. He had exactly 13 shekel in his pocket, right, to be able to get there from Ramat Beit Shemesh to Bnei Brak. So he put the 13 shekel in his pocket. As we all know, Israeli money, so we're talking about a 10 shekel piece and 3 coins, right? As he's getting on the bus, so he went and put his hand in his pocket to go take out the money, and he could only find the 3 shekel. So he kept searching around and kept looking everywhere, could not find the 10 shekel anywhere. He had absolutely no idea where he put it, but he knew that he had put 13 shekel in his pocket. So this avreich had a certain chumrah that he had for himself. He would never borrow money from another person. Never take money. Even if he knew he was going to be able to pay back, he would never borrow money. So when he got on the bus, he had a few friends that were on there. They looked at him and said, "Don't worry about it. We'll take care of it for you." And he said, "Absolutely not. I don't borrow money. It's not what I do." So he stepped off the bus, right? And just stepped down and said, "All right, I'll go back to my house. I'll go get the extra 10 shekel and I'll make the later bus. What can I do? I don't have much of a choice." He gets off, and right behind, as the bus pulls away, a car pulls up. I guess it was another friend of his, saw him get up on the bus and then come right back down. So rolled down his window and said, "What's going on? Why didn't you take the bus?" He said, "I don't know what happened. I had 13 shekel in my pocket. I couldn't find the 10 shekel. There was nothing I could do. So I wanted to go home to go get 10 shekel." So the guy said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going to Bnei Brak." He said, "I'm going to Bnei Brak also. Come, I'll give you a ride." So the guy wouldn't borrow money, but he would take rides. So he, I know, I found that a little strange also. So he got into the car, right? I think the way the resolution put it is, he couldn't refuse such an obvious sign from Hashem. That's good. That was good. But either way, somebody else said, "I have 10 shekel for you." It's also a sign from Hashem. But either way, regardless, so he decided that he was going to get inside the guy's car. So he went in the car, and they drove behind the bus. Okay, I'll be honest with you. In Israeli, I don't know who here has driven in Israel, right? Especially on Highway 1 from Tel Aviv to Bnei Brak and back and forth. Okay, it's basically playing Mario Kart. The only difference between Mario Kart and driving on Highway 1 is that you don't have to worry about banana peels. That's about it. Aside from that, it's basically the exact same thing. So they were driving behind the bus, and the bus is going or whatever, and they were behind it. As the bus made one of those turns, I don't know exactly where it was, to be honest with you. I'm trying to think. From Beit Shemesh, Ramat Beit Shemesh, to the area where Tel Aviv is, unless it was before they got onto the highway. I don't know where this wadi could have been. But either way, the bus turned and went a little bit too far, and unfortunately crashed down. Luckily, everybody survived, but unfortunately there were a lot of people that were hurt very, very badly. The avreich that was in the car behind, who should have been on that bus, that obviously crashed into the ditch. He didn't know what was happening on the bus. He thought, maybe there were people that were killed, and immediately started crying and started saying, "Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you." And when he started crying, he reached into his pocket to pull out the tissue that he had inside there to be able to wipe his eyes, and the 10 shekel came out into his hand. Didn't even pull out the tissue, turned into the tissue. That's not that crazy. So regardless, that's obvious. It's that we don't always get to see those miracles. We don't always get to see it. We don't always realize it. But it could be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure that the car that was supposed to be at the intersection that you were crossing right at that moment, and it was turning and would have hit you, somehow was caught by a red light 2 blocks earlier, and therefore was a couple seconds off, and that's the reason why you weren't in a car crash. So you wouldn't know that. You would have absolutely no idea, because how are we supposed to know what could have happened if that would have been? We don't know. But nonetheless, those are the types of miracles we say, al nisecha shebechol yom imanu, that are with us every single day. The Shach tells us that this is the only place where David HaMelech tells us, ivdu es Hashem b'simcha. We do Mizmor L'Sod every day, right? Mizmor L'Sod in our Sukkot is never, except for Shabbos. And in there we say, ivdu es Hashem b'simcha. We say, we should serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with simcha. The other korbanos are brought because you did something wrong, and the one giving the korban does so with hachna, shiftless, feeling bad. He's embarrassed that he has to bring this korban because he had done something wrong. He doesn't want anyone knowing what's going on. Not so with the korban todah. The korban todah is not that way. Here, this guy is praising and singing HaKadosh Baruch Hu the whole way, says the Shach. Is the Shach one of the Talmidei Arizal? That his voice carries over to everyone else, so everyone is involved. Therefore, there's a minhag. There's a great minhag. It's brought down in the Mishnah Berurah that you sing Mizmor Lasoda. That there has to be a tune while you're saying Mizmor Lasoda. Do you do it? Does Spartan do it?
Yeah.
They do it at lunch? Okay, you do it.
That's your time. We can dance a little too.
Don't down by yourself, down with a minion. But yes, but if you're in the middle of a forest. Right, then that. Right. But then that. There's no question. If you sing, you don't have to sing it out loud. It should just be like a smaller, little, like, sing-song voice. But Mizmor Lasoda should be that way. And the reason why is because that's how the Korban Todah was brought. It's in order to sing the praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, there's a Medrash Rabba. It's a crazy Medrash. In Vayikra Rabba Tes Zayin, that says the following, Perek Tes Psik Tes Zayin, it says, all korbanos will be gone in the future. There will be no korbanos left, except for the korban todah. All tfilos will be gone in the future. No one is going to daven. There will be no davening in the future, except for Mizmor Lasoda. That's it, Hodah. That's it. Can you believe that? Korbanos are gone. Mizmor, every other part of tefillah is gone. Just Mizmor Lasoda and just the Korban Todah. Why? So it seems the pshat you'd assume from this medrash is, since the Itzahara is gone, since evil is going to be eradicated, there won't be anything left, lost is loved, when everything's finished, no other Korbanos are going to be necessary. No one's going to sin. There's no Katas, no Asham, no Ola. All the things are going to be gone. The only thing that's left is to thank God for all the great things that we have. So we have a Korban Todah. You see, by the way, that a Korban Todah can be given even if you didn't, you weren't put in a dangerous situation. This is obviously not a dangerous situation, loss of love, but yet still there will be Korban Todahs when we're getting to that area. So the Gemara in Yuma on Daf Hei Amud Beis asks, how Moshe put the clothes on Aaron Ubanov? How did he put them on? How did he put the clothing on? Did he put the Mechnasayim first and then the Ksones? What did he do exactly? What was the order? The Gemara says the craziest question. Gemara says, who cares? What difference does it make? Why do we care? I mean, whatever happened, happened. What do we need to know what Moshe did to Aaron back in the day? So the Gemara answers, and it says, we need to know La'asad Lavo. In the future, when we get the Big Day Kahuna back, we need to know how to dress the Kohanim. How are we supposed to put the clothes on the Kohanim? So we need to know that. So Gemara says, when in the future all these things happen again, Moshe and Aaron will be there, and they'll tell us. They'll tell us, I remember, I got this person, that, and that's that. So what's the point? You don't need to know it. So Gemara says, all right, you're right. At the end of the day, we just want to know how to understand the Pesukim. That's it. And the Gemara says, we just want to understand how to read the Pesukim themselves. The Gevura Sarif, tremendous, and we're talking about the report, just a tremendous Talmud Chacham, asked this following Kashi. He says, one of the Amoraim in that Gemara that was speaking out that whole statement was Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan is the one that says that all mitzvos will be gone, la'asad level. He's the one that holds that there will be no mitzvos, la'asad level. La'asad level at the times of whether it's Mashiach or beyond Mashiach, and Tzchias Mesa, whatever time it is, there will be no mitzvos at a certain time. If Rabbi Yochanan holds there are no mitzvos, la'asad level, how could you say that we'll just find out when the Kohanim come back, la'asid lavo, when they do the korbanos and they put on the big dekuna, there won't be korbanos, there won't be big dekuna, there's nothing for them to put on. So if they don't need to put it on, what in the world is the Gemara saying? Oh, we'll wait until what happens in the future. But Rabbi Yochanan holds there is nothing in the future. You can't answer that for Rabbi Yochanan. What was the Gemara thinking? Why would the Gemara have asked that question? Rabbi Yashiv answers the question. Through our midrash. You know who the author of this midrash is that says that all korbanos are gone except for the korban todah? It's Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, and it was also, who else was it? Rabbi Pinchas and Rabbi Levi all said that although no mitzvos will be there, there will be no korbanos in the future, no big dekuna in the future, so to speak, there will be one korban. It's the korban todah. In order to bring a korban todah, the kohen needs to wear big dekuna. So there are going to be big tikkuna. This is the only mitzvah that's going to exist. Since there will be a reason to wear big tikkuna in the future, the Gemara says, well, we need to know what to do in the future. Either Rabbi Yochanan holds there are no mitzvahs in the future. There is. There's one mitzvah. It's Korban Todah. And for that, they need big tikkuna. And for that, we need to ask how to put them on Aaron and Banav. If not for the fact that we say the Moshe and Aaron will be there, so what difference does it make? That's the pshat, says Rabbi Yashiv. Crazy answer. Still. I'm sorry? Yeah, that's the line. That perm will still exist no matter what. Durabana. Maybe it needs still Raisa. It's a good call. I don't know what's going to be. It could be that even that's bubble. It could be also Machlokas Midrashim. It could be Rabbi Yochanan doesn't make that statement about firm. That could be also. Still, something still doesn't make sense. I don't understand. Why do we need a Korban Toda in the future, right? If nothing bad will happen, there's no longer going to be a Yitzhara. So that, the Tal Yoros answers, it's simply put, the Toda is just to thank, and I said it a little bit before, to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for being freed in our goals. You know what's going to happen? We're going to sit there in the future, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to explain to us everything that happened in our lifetimes. Things that we never knew. Things that we were saved from, or we had no problem with, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chesed shone upon us, and we had no problem with it whatsoever, but we had no idea. Until in the future, Lasid Lavo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, and here's what I did for you. Let me show you what I did. And he lists them all off, and we're just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you did that. And every day, maybe even every hour, there was another chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to us that we didn't realize. So all of a sudden, at the end, we have to say we're bringing Korban Todas. We have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what we have, and that's what we're bringing the Korban Todas for. That's the point of that Korban Toda. Now, there's a bunch of questions on what the word Toda means. I've been working on Thanksgiving the whole time, because that's the word according to Rashi. The Radak says the word Toda comes from the word Vidui, and that really the Korban Toda is almost as if you're admitting your wrongdoing, and you're thanking Hashem for the opportunity to do better. It's like a Chatas and an Hashem. That's how the Radak looks at it. Rashi argues, Rashi definitely says Toda. Rav Avigdor Miller points out that it also comes from another word. Yeshaya Yud Beis Chatz uses the word Hada, which means to elevate. So Hoda can also mean to elevate, bring something up. That really means to praise a person, to extol, raise yourself up, to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all the goodness that He's given us. The truth is that somebody who receives a gift should always elevate his benefactor. You know, to say to the person who has given it to him, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we should thank you and increase our awareness by properly saying to him, this is what you've done for me, thank you so much. And that elevates the person and makes him feel better for what he's doing. And we bring this korban as that. And therefore, it's not only every korban technically is an expression of gratitude. I forgot who said that before, but I don't remember who it was. But technically, every korban is an expression of gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thanking God for me being around while the other people aren't. Mizmor Lasod is a little bit different. It's thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only for the past but for the future, and more so, not in a vidui sense, but more of as, this is what I belong to, this is what I need to say. That's the Mizmor from Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis LaDavid. It's unbelievable, right? This is the consecration of the Beis HaMikdash for David HaMelech. He's consecrating the Beis HaMikdash. First of all, the Beis HaMikdash never existed by David HaMelech. There was none. He made the bottom of it. I mean, he bought the area from Arbona Hevusi, and maybe he made a little bit of he went all the way down to the depths to be able to make the tunnels in the bottom. But he didn't make anything else. There was nothing else. There was no Chanukah Sabayis. Either way, he made a Chanukah Sabayis. Look throughout the rest of the Mizmor. Go through it. There's not one word about the Beis HaMikdash. Not one word. We know it.
But
it's
in the Chanukah Sabayis for his own house?
No, because it's for sure refunded. All the Mephoshim say it's the Beis HaMikdash. Yeah, for sure it is. But the question is, where does it come from? And the rest of it has nothing to do with the house. It all has to do with him, because the pshat is that Chanukah Sabayis LeDavid, the Chanukah Sabayis, the real Beis HaMikdash, the point of the Beis HaMikdash, is always to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's always about Hodah in some way, shape, or form. That's the whole point of it. So next time you read Mizmor Shir, look in the English, read the whole thing through, and tell me anywhere one word that has to do with the Beis HaMikdash. One word of it, aside from the beginning where he says Chanukah Sabayis LaDavid. Because it's not. The point of the Beis HaMikdash is not about the house. It's about thanking Hashem for what He's given you. That's the idea behind it. What?
That's what you do.
That's the idea behind it. Yeah, that's 100% the idea behind it. What time do we have right now? We have that, okay. So, I'm not going to do the whole reperse here, but I got to get to this Chassam Sofer. This Chassam Sofer is absolutely unbelievable. If you want to read it through yourself over here, there's a lot behind what reperse is saying. It's a very, very deep vort of what he's trying to say. The purpose of bringing chametz and matzah together in order to show that your well-being is coming from God, that even in my low times, I can raise myself up. And that's the idea of what it means to go ahead and put yourself in a dangerous situation and bring yourself up from everything. It doesn't necessarily have to do with being in jail or
your desert or sickness or anything like that. It's that now you're free again. You can do what you need to do. You can be a normal person. 10 is the number of perfection. He says, Rehersh is an unreal board, but it takes a lot of time to go through. It's going to take too much for me to explain. So that's inside if you want to see it. Lamaisa, the Chassam Sofer says, how does it apply for us nowadays? Unreal question. So the Chassam Sofer was asked this in his Tshuvas, Orach Chaim Nun Aleph. He was asked by a Rav. This is what happened. The Rav went out to sea, and he came back, at night. The whole town knew he was coming back. I guess he had sent some sort of a telegram beforehand, but he sent something ahead of time so that everybody knew that he was coming that night. They stayed up to greet him. When he came into the town, they all brought him into the shul. They had a little bit of a party for him, and they gave him a little bit of, it was almost like a suit of soda that he was able to come from overseas without being hurt. Okay, and that's what happened. They brought him in, and everything was all good. As he sat there, he said, you know what? I want to get up, and I want to bench Birkas HaGomel. So what you do, right? You bench Birkas HaGomel, right, in front of a crowd. So he wanted to bench Birkas HaGomel. And a guy told him, no, you can't. Some Talmud Chacham that was there said, you can't. Told the Rav, you can't. Said, why? Said, Birkas HaGomel is what we do nowadays instead of a Korban Todah. It used to be we brought a Korban Todah when you came from overseas, right? Now we don't have a Korban Todah, so instead we bench Birkas HaGomel. So you can't do that at night. A Korban Todah can't be brought at night. A Korban Todah can only be brought during the day. Therefore, you can only bench Gomel during the day. Which is amazing, by the way. Think about this. Have you ever heard anyone bench Gomel at night? That's the first thing. Gay said, number one. Number two, our minug is to bench Gomel by an aliyah. That's our minug. We do it by aliyah. You get an aliyah, and then you bench Gomel. That's the normal thing. Or even if you don't have aliyah, while there's Kriya Satorah, that's when you bench Gomel. You never see a guy just randomly go into a shul and clap and say, you just don't see it. We bench Gomel by aliyah. He said, that's a minug, and we can't break that minug. So this Rav wrote to the Chassam Sofer to ask him, what did the Chassam Sofer think? Was I right in trying to make the Birkas HaGomel at night, or was I wrong? Should I not make it at night, and should I do it by an aliyah? So Chassam Sofer goes on and on, and he tells him, one of the most unbelievable things. First of all, the tshuva is amazing. If you ever had any questions about minhagim, why we keep certain minhagim, the Chassam Sofer tells him, the Rav also said, I don't understand another minhag, and he brings up another minhag, and therefore I stop this minhag. The Chassam Sofer told him, you have no idea what you're doing by changing minhagim. You have no clue what you're doing. He told him that your reasoning behind the minhag that you thought the minhag was is totally wrong. Here's the reason for the minhag. And all minhagim are like that. Every minhag that we have is for a reason, and when you think the reason doesn't apply, it's because 17 other reasons apply and you just don't know them. That's what the Chassam Sofer says. It's an amazing Chassam Sofer. But then he tells him the following, and he says a brilliant idea that you've never even heard of, you've never even thought of. He says in the Pasuk in Tehillim, it says when David HaMelech is going through what you have to thank Hashem for, he mentions for getting out of a desert, getting out of jail, being healed from a sickness, and from getting away from a sea, after being at sea. It says all four of them. That's the order brought. Then when it says in the Gemara, in Brachos, that you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is what it says. It says, sea, desert, sickness, jail. So again, in the Pasuk, it's desert, jail, sickness, sea. But in the Gemara, it's sea, desert, sickness, jail.
I got up.
That it's four.
About the plagues when they go back and forth.
No. Anyway, the Chassam Sofer says, what's pshat? Why in the world did the Gemara switch around from Pesukim? Right? Why did the Gemara switch around from the Pesukim? It should have given the order of the Pesukim. Listen to Chassam Sofer. He says, here's pshat. In the Gemara, it's going through two different types of being saved from something. When you're saved from the sea, or when you're saved from the desert, that's a situation that you put yourself into. You put yourself at sea, you put yourself in the desert, and you're being saved from it, but you put yourself there in the first place. You put yourself in a dangerous situation. So you're saved, good, but you were the one who did it in the first place. That's the first two. The other two, sickness and being put in jail, were not you putting yourself in that position. You were put in that position. You got sick or something happened. Now, it's clear that's a general rule. There's no question you could make yourself sick by walking outside when it's freezing cold outside without a jacket on. You can make yourself sick. You obviously can put yourself in jail by doing something really, 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 really dumb that you knew the cops were going to get you for. It's also obvious that you could find yourself in the sea or in the desert and it not being your fault. But in general terms, those are the two forces. One is where you did it and yet you need to thank Hashem because you were saved, and one was where you didn't do anything and you have to thank Hashem for being saved. Those are the two, and that's the way the Gemara was learning it, those two sides. says, but not so by the pasuk. It's brilliant, he says. If you look in the psukim, by Kuf Zayin, Talmud Kuf Zayin, I was going to write the whole thing down, I was going to put it on another page, but it's not necessary. By each one of the first three, when it mentions the desert, jail, and sickness, Sam Sofer points out, by each one of them, David Melech says, Yodu Hashem Chasov Nitlaosov Lemin Adam V'yizbechu Zitchei Soda. Thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu and everything, and bring a Korban Toda. By the first three, by the fourth one, when he comes back from the sea, there is no mention of V'yizbechu Zitchei Soda. He doesn't mention that word. It doesn't say you got to bring a korban todah. She says a brilliant pshat. You know what it says? It says yirumamuhu b'kal am. You should exalt him among many people. He says, therefore, says the Chassam Sofer, because David HaMelech separates them from one another. He says like this: when you're at jail, when you're in jail, when you're at sea, or when you're in jail, when you're in the desert, or when you're sick, then you're chayiv to bring a korban todah. When you go out to sea, you're not chayiv in a korban todah. You're not. You never were. There's no issue with the korban todah, even though the Gemara seems to say the opposite. And Rashi, in our parsha, says clearly that you're chayiv in a korban todah for going out to sea. Says the Chassam Sofer from Tehillim, it's clear that David HaMelech said you're not chayiv in a korban todah for going out to sea. You just have to thank God publicly. How do you thank God publicly? You get up in front of a minion and you bench Gomel. You bench Gomel. See, you should bench Gomel. So our minhag is to do it by the Aliyah, because that's the normal place where you have 10 people around. In order to wane, you need to have 10 people. So to be guaranteed that there will be 10 people there that are going to answer to you, we bench Gomel by the Bima along with an Aliyah, even if you don't get an Aliyah. But you came back at night. And since you came back at night, right, and you had a whole crowd around you, you saw that there were more than 10 people, you're allowed to bench Gomel at night. Oh, it's like the Korban Todah? It's not. Going out to sea is not like a Korban Todah. You don't bring a Korban Todah for it. So you could even do it at night. There's no problem. You could bench Gomel as long as you're guaranteed a minion wherever it's going to be. But he said, because it's a minog, I don't want to break it. And you shouldn't do it unless you explain to people what you're doing and why you're doing it. But otherwise, I see no problem with you benching Gomel at night before a big crowd, and there shouldn't be any issue because there is no shaychus to a regular korban todah. And this is the only thing you have to worry about. You do have to worry that if the people say to you before you're able to bench Gomel, Baruch Hashem, you got in safely, and you say Amen, which you have to by such a bracha, if you say Amen, you're no longer chayav in a Birchas HaGomel, and the bracha would be a bracha of Atalah. So if anybody said that to you before you were able to bench Gomel, then you're putter from the bench in Gomel. So think about it this way. There's a big suffix nowadays when we deal with going on a flight from Israel to America, America to Israel, and whether you bench Gomel or not. The minute with Duel Klal Yisrael seems to be that everybody benches Gomel. I know there are very few people that don't bench Gomel. Right? There are people that don't do it. What's pshat? No wonder Rabbi Twersky does not. Rabbi Twersky does not. It makes sense. My Rosh Yeshiva also, Rabbi Lerfield, does not. He doesn't bench Gomel. It's not like a ship at sea. That's the obvious part, right? Unless you're on Malaysian Air or German Air, right? Unless you're on one of those two, right? Obviously, right? Unless there's a German flying your plane or you're in Malaysia. Probably second, no matter what you're doing. But unless you're on one of those, that's that. Right. There's no question. Normally, plane flying seems to be very, very safe in most situations. Now it's sea. I'm sorry?
It's only going over the ocean.
And it would only be going over the ocean.
Well, even the plane going to Dusseldorf.
Right, that wouldn't have been normal. That wouldn't have been there. But in other words, New York to LA, even though it's a long flight, no issues, right? But New York to England would have been an issue, whatever it is. But either way, there's a suffix, right? But the fact is, if you come and you land, let's say, and your mom greets you and she says, oh, Baruch Hashem, you landed safely. And you say Amen, because that is a bracha, and you should say Amen to it, you have no chiyuv at all to bench Gomel. As soon as someone says that to you, you're done. It's over. Even though you weren't able to do it in front of a minion, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You didn't have to do it in front of a minion. That's just what we try to do. And you have no chiyuv anymore. So I try every single time that I get it. I either wait for an aliyah, and I don't bench Gomel. I use the aliyah to think HaKadosh Baruch Hu when I have it in my head. Or I'm yotzei through someone else who's making the bracha anyway. Just because, why not? Because I don't remember if somebody said, Baruch Hashem, that you're back. and I said amen to it. I have absolutely no idea. And plus, there's a suffix anyway when you're on a plane if you should bench gomel. So somebody else is doing it because they hold that you should bench gomel. So I go up to them and say, okay, can you do it for me? That's the easier way to do it. And that's there. Or an aliyah, just getting an aliyah should be something for it. And that's the idea behind it. It's not a psak la'alaka, but it's an idea that comes from this chsam sofer. The chsam sofer does not mention anything about planes. If he did, that would be amazing. But the chsam sofer would have a real problem mentioning planes. If he did, everybody would be learning the chsam sofer right now. But that's that. Yeah,
and he went out of the desert.
No. I will tell you, by the way, as a side note, when you travel to LA, if you go to California, you can make four brachos while you're on the plane. There are four brachos to make a vos semes of rachis. Because you pass over, I did it the last time I went to LA, you pass over the desert, right, the Mojave Desert, you pass over the Rocky Mountains, pass over the Grand Canyon most times, and the Pacific Ocean. That's four different areas that you can make an vos semes of rachis while you're on the plane, looking down from the plane itself. So if you can do that, you can, don't worry about the bench and gomel. You get four brachos there, and don't go to Vegas ever. But that's the idea. Those are the four things that you can get. I will stop with that, guys. Have